Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everybody. This is David Clark. Welcome to another Sunday morning episode of The Truth Ministries here on WBOB. Guess it's not an episode, that's for television. Another program, I should say, on the radio. So glad to have you all with us. We are excited to be here today. I'm excited about everything. Just, I love the Lord, and I love Sundays, my favorite day of the week. Some of us have labored, fought hell and high water all week just to get here today. And so we're just glad to be here. I'm glad it's Sunday, and I'm glad I get to go to the house of God twice today and to worship Him. I'm going to be sharing with you something that's heavy on my heart this morning. All the time, whenever you preach, you want to have a burden. Of course, you want to know the mind of God, but sometimes the burden is a little heavier than others. Other times, sometimes the Lord really weighs something into your spirit, and it's a heavier message. And so I want to tell you this morning that the Lord has really burdened me with this. This is not some deep theology. It's not some great Bible mystery. This is very cut and dry, but this is what the Lord dealt with my heart about sharing this morning. So this is what I'm going to share with you. Turn to the book of Luke if you have your Bibles with you. Luke chapter 23. I don't want to linger too long. I want to go ahead and get into this so we have time. Luke 23. I want to welcome everyone that's listening by way of radio, by way of Facebook, by way of internet, wherever you are around the world. Welcome to the Truth Ministries. We sure are glad you're here. Appreciate you. If you want to write in, it's brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com, all spelled out. brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com. We'd sure love to hear from you. All right, so Luke 23, I'm going to start reading in verse number 32. This is the story of Jesus as he is on his way to be crucified, and then we're going to start reading where he's already on the cross and the conversation between him and the thieves, or both the thieves, and I want to bring out something here the Lord's laid on my heart, okay? Number 32, it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the apostle stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and of and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now this is the conversation between Jesus and the two thieves hanging on the cross. We all know this story. We all know that one of the thieves kind of mocked Jesus, and the other defended him. And we know that one of them went to heaven and one of them did not. We know that Jesus told the one thief, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. So we know that he made it in. It was out of the words of Jesus himself. But I want to talk to you about something this morning that the Lord's burdened my heart with that is very relative to the church world today, to where we are right now in 2019. And the title that I want to put on this is So Close, Yet So Far Away. So Close, yet so far away. What a sad story it is for this thief who was hanging on the cross, crucified next to Jesus. What a sad story for us knowing that he was up there to die. That thief was there just like the rest of them were. He was there because he's being punished. Now, whether or not he did what they said he did, I don't know that. I just know that the Bible calls them malefactors. In one gospel, it calls them thieves. And so I know that they were probably being put to death because of stealing or because of crimes they'd done. Jesus had done no crimes. But what a sad situation it is when you think about it. In today's comparison, it'd be someone who was about to have lethal injection or face the electric chair. We don't have that anymore in Florida. But face lethal injection or face some type of capital punishment. And the last words from his mouth before he is executed are mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to compare and contrast this morning what is going on here and what happened and what is the relativeness from us to get from this story today. Both of these men hanging next to Jesus were criminals. Both were sinners. So one is spiritual, the other physical. We know they had done something that broke the law, but in their hearts, we know they did not know Christ before getting to that cross. Maybe they knew who he was. Maybe they knew they had heard rumors about him. The fact that the one thief said, if he be the Son of God, then let him save himself and us, lets me know that they knew something about him. They knew of him. They had heard rumors about Christ because, you know, rumors of him had been spread around everywhere. He was getting to be well known everywhere that he went for the miracles and for his preaching. And so I'm sure that maybe they heard, maybe they even witnessed him at some point, you know, going around and working his ministry. I don't know. But what we do know is at the end of the road, there was a thief on each side, a malefactor, and one of them mocked him, and one of them prayed to him and believed on him. So we want to compare these two. One on one side of him was near to him, and the other knew him. There's a difference. I want to compare and contrast this morning what it means to be near Jesus versus what it means to know Jesus. The title of this message is So Close, Yet So Far Away. I want to tell you today that there are a lot of folks who are associated with churches. There's a lot of people who name the name of Christ or profess to be religious or have some type of affiliation with a church body that they know Christ. They know about him. They know who he is. They know of him. And maybe they are close related to people that talk about him. Maybe they have a Jesus emblem on their vehicle. My wife has one on her van. It was on there when we bought it. I never took it off. I just like it. But you know, that Jesus symbol on the vehicle doesn't make me any more born again than a hound dog, than anything, than somebody's house cat. Makes me no more saved than anybody else. Religious symbolism does not save us. Knowing about Christ, even memorizing this word, memorizing this scripture, it does not save us. We have here in this story two thieves. Both of them were in close proximity to the Savior. Now think about this. Think about this. They were both in very close proximity to him the entire duration of this crucifixion. The blood that ran from Jesus Christ was the same distance from one as it was to the other. Jesus was right in the middle of them, so the blood running from his body was in close proximity to them. What a sad story that it is for one of these thieves to not make it into heaven, to not believe on him, being that close to the blood flow, being that close to Christ himself. But what a vivid picture that this story paints for us about the modern day church. How many of us from time to time in our life have been so close affiliated with church, so close affiliated with a preacher, so close affiliated with the Bible, yet we were so far away from God because we were around the elements of God, we were around the things of religion, but we never allowed Jesus to get in our hearts. We never allowed the blood of Jesus to come in contact with us. We've been close to Him. We've been near Him. We've shown up for church on Sunday morning. We have been affiliated with a body of believers. Yet year after year, folks never want to get a relationship with Jesus. I think about these two thieves on this cross, and it's heart-wrenching to understand that the last thing that thief that mocked Him, the last thing He ever saw before He went out into eternity to face eternal damnation in a place called hell was a vision, it was a sight of the Savior hanging on the cross, and the last thing He ever saw was Jesus sacrifice, and it was for His own sin, yet He had no relationship, although He was close to Him, although He was in the same vicinity. You've seen the pictures. You've seen the cross, the hillside there, and all the decorations people have, and the Christmas cards or the Easter cards has a hill with three crosses in the distance. You can see there's three crosses there together. We relate the crucifixion of Jesus. We relate the mental picture of Calvary with those three crosses because we know the story. But I want to tell you that it's a sad story in that one of those thieves went on to paradise with the Lord, but the other, he left in an awful condition. And unless he prayed, which I sincerely doubt, because the Bible gives a clear description that one of those thieves went to paradise and one did not. But listen to me, what an awful place to be in, to be near Jesus, but to be so far away from Him. But today, listen, today, the church world is consumed with this type of mentality. We've got folks that show up to our churches. We've got people that sit on the church pews. We've got folks that sing in the choirs. We've got folks that play instruments. They have been associated with church for so long, yet they have never come in contact with the very blood of Jesus that saves us from sin. They have been in close proximity to Him. They have been near Him. They have maybe been even to the altar to go through some type of a format of prayer. But friends, they have never established a relationship with Him. And it's evident by the fruit that they bear. It's evident by the life that they live. They have never confessed Jesus as Lord. They may have said words, but their life denies that Jesus is Lord of all. I want to tell you today that it doesn't matter what type of a religious format that you go through. It doesn't matter what type of a form that you follow. It doesn't matter what the teachings of your church are or what the name on your church sign may say. Friends, if you have never gotten into a relationship with Jesus Christ, if He's not Lord of your life, if He's not Lord of all, if you've not lived a life that is surrendered to His will, to His cross, and to this Word of God, you've not been born again. And we know that because the Bible said, you shall know them by their fruits. And I want to tell you this morning that I'm not the judge if somebody's got the right kind of fruit, but I know what fruit is. I say it often. You know, I'm not going to judge somebody that says they're born again, but I've also been in the produce department at the grocery store, and I know what fruit looks like, and I know when it's rotten, and I know when it's ripe. Somebody help me here while I preach. Now listen to me. Somebody that claims to be born again, somebody that claims to know Jesus, yet they live like the rest of that world out there, we're immediately going to smell the stench of that rotten fruit because it does not testify of the holiness of God. Now we have a decision to make this morning, whether or not we're going to be the thief on the cross who mocked Jesus and said, if you are the Christ, if you are who you say you are, versus the one that rebuked him, the other thief, and said, listen, don't you know who this is? This man is innocent of all charges. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, Lord. It was a profession of faith. Maybe the man had made some mistakes before this moment, but as he comes in contact with the master, he recognizes his sin. He recognizes who he is and that he needs this man called Jesus if he ever hopes to enter in to a place called heaven. He recognizes that Jesus is the door. I want to remind somebody this morning that maybe you've been going through religious formality, but I want to remind you that Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't matter what type of incense you burn. It doesn't matter what type of statues that you bow before. It doesn't matter how many times you pray a rosary prayer. It doesn't matter what type of jewels that you bedeck yourself with religious symbols. Jesus Christ and him alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Listen, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. What an awful thought it is to be so close to Jesus and yet so spiritually far away. So close. These thieves hanging on the cross were physically closer to Jesus than you and I can ever be here on this earth. They were closer to him. Hanging on that cross, they were in close proximity to him. But listen, even though they were there where the blood was running out of his veins, even though they were there and they saw him die on that cross, they were there for the entire thing. One of them believed on him and one of them did not. And I understand that a lot of folks have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. But the fact of the matter is you and I are going to come face to face with this truth that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. And we can either embrace that and serve him, or we can deny him and we can go to a place called hell. And it exists whether or not you believe in it or not. He's coming back whether you believe he is or not. Jesus said in his word, I go away to prepare a place for you. He's making a place for you, but listen, it's up to us whether we're going to serve him or not. Today, I want to warn you, don't get so close to him and yet still be so spiritually far away. What an awful thing it is. And think about how many times in a week that church folks go into the sanctuary. They sing the songs of Zion. They watch people pray in the altars. They hear words of God preached from the pulpit. They hear the songs sung about heaven and about healing and about Jesus. They hear the gospel truth. They know what this word says. They are so close to him, yet in reality, in the spirit realm, they are so far away from him because they have never established a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter. All those other things are formalities. There is no power in religious trinkets. There is no power in religious garb. There is no power in all the puppets of religion that the different denominations placed out in the forefront. There's no power in that. The only power is in the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for the remission of sin. I want to tell you, listen, that thief on the cross, he saw the blood flowing from Jesus' veins. The very blood that we sing about. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flow, lose all their guilty stains. He saw with his own eyes the very blood of Jesus running out of his body. The very saving grace of the Savior. He laid his eyes upon it. He was so close to him, yet he still left this earth. He still died and went out to eternity as an unbeliever because in his heart he was so far away. What an awful thing Some of us have been to church our whole life. Some of us have been around religion our whole life. Some of us have heard the name of Jesus our whole life. We know what the Bible says. We know things. But listen, knowledge is not salvation. Knowledge is not what saves us. What saves us is knowing Him personally. Knowing Jesus personally, being saved by His blood, bowing at an altar of prayer, kneeling before the cross of Christ, and acknowledging that we are nothing and He is everything. You see, that's why folks don't like to come to Christ. That's why it goes against human nature, because there is an element of submission. If you're going to come to Jesus, you're going to have to lay everything else down. You're going to have to forsake your former life, take up your cross and follow Him. It's a daily life of crucifixion. It's a daily life of waking up every morning and dying out to self, following Christ. This is not about living your best life now. This is not about you having the best that you can have. This is not about you being rich and prospering. This is not about you being well known, well educated, and well paid. This is not about you being successful. This is about us being conformed into the image and to the likeness of God Almighty, His Son, Jesus Christ. This is about us being Spirit-led. It's about us being Spirit-filled. It's about us being Christ to this present world. But friends, being religious is not the same as being Christ. You can attend church services 10 times a week. It ain't going to turn you into no saint. Just like parking yourself in a garage, it's going to turn you into an automobile. It's not going to happen. There's no magical spell that nobody can put on you. The transformation's going to take place in your heart, but it's only going to come by the blood of Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes how that thief on that cross was thinking, what his mental process was, how blinded he must have been for the answer to be right in front of him, yet he stayed there on that cross, and he mocked God, he mocked the Savior, and yet he hung there and died, with the last thing he ever saw was Jesus hanging there. How many times in the years since this event took place, these thousands of years, how many times has that replayed over and over and over in the mind of that thief on the cross? I was right there. I was so close to the solution. I was right there at the door. I had His blood at my fingertips. All I had to do was believe. All I had to do was call out. All I had to do was submit. And the answer was so close, yet He was so far away. Friends, I want to tell you, it's time that we get real. It's time that the church fess up, go ahead and just repent and get back to our first love. It's time that we get a relationship with God. The world's never going to take you seriously as a Christian if you're serving two masters. They're never going to take you seriously when your fruit is so rotten they can smell it a mile away. They're never going to take you seriously as a Christian. You wonder why when you witness to folks, they don't want nothing to do with what you're telling them. It's because they watch the lifestyle that you live. They watch the example that comes from your life. They see your testimony and it tells them all that they need to know. You are so close in proximity to Him, yet you are so far away. What an awful place to be in. What an awful place to be in. Listen, I want to read you some scripture here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. That's a very bold statement by Jesus, but there was no mincing of words here, not just in your words, but in your actions. If you deny Christ before men, when he stands before his Father, he will confess, I never knew you. Let's read Matthew 7 and 15. 7 and 15 says, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Listen, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They'll say, Lord, we've done these actions in your name. We have done these things. We've attended church. We have dressed the part. We've acted the part. We have done these things, and we have professed you. But Jesus will say, your profession is not enough. Being near to me is not enough. Being familiar with the sanctuary is not enough. Singing in the choir is not enough. He wants to know, did you know him? And does he know you? So close, yet so far away. Listen, it's an awful thing today to think about the state of someone who knows Christ, knows of him. They have been around church their whole life. They've been associated with things of the church. They know all the ins and outs of the Bible. They know what the Word of God says. Yet there has never been a relationship with Jesus. They have never professed him openly. Maybe they have claimed to be a Christian, but they've never been in a relationship with him. They don't know him. And more importantly, Jesus doesn't know them. How will we know that? Because their fruits are going to bear witness. What is that fruit? Those fruits are what testifies to us that we know him. Is there goodness? Is there gentleness? Is there kindness? Is there meekness? Is there long-suffering? Is there patience? Listen to me. All the fruits of the Spirit, all of the characters and the qualities of Christ are going to be evident in the heart of a believer. They're going to be on display at all times. You're not going to catch a Christian at some bad time of day and he's going to cuss you three ways to Sunday. It ain't going to happen, friend. It's not going to happen. They're never going to cheat you. They're never going to lie and steal from you. A Christian's never going to do those things. They may profess him, but they don't have a knowledge of him in their heart. They don't have a relationship. I want to call to the church this morning. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to know Christ in his fullness. It's time for us to quit being close to him and get a relationship with him. It's time for us to get back in an altar of prayer and pray through until we know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, until we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and we're in right standing with God by his son Jesus. Listen to me. It was a shame to be so close, yet so far away. So close. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. How could he say that? Done all these things in his name. Been on mission trips. Done all the things that maybe even taught a Sunday school class. Somebody didn't have enough discernment to know you wasn't even born again. Put you in the choir. Put you on an instrument. You can fool folks, people, but you can't fool God. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. Listen, he knows whether we love him or not. He knows whether we're going to serve him or not. Don't be so close, yet so far away. Jesus is standing ready. He's standing ready. He said, if anyone will call upon him, whosoever, he'll be saved. He's standing at the ready today. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to give you a relationship with him. I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm out of time. Let's find somewhere in worship today. Find you a Spirit-filled church. Don't go to no dead church. Find you a Spirit-filled church. Let's get in there and worship God, and let's watch the Holy Ghost fall and give us revival in our life again. I'm praying for you. I love you. Brother David on the air, gmail.com. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.